Should we do cover letters?
Let's do cover letters.
Well, you're in the process of applying for jobs yourself right now, aren't you?
That's true, yeah. And, you know, even the name cover letter, what am I covering, right? It used to probably go on the resume. I actually remember doing this, a paper resume, but I would have already emailed it to them. So it's actually not a cover letter anymore. It's just kind of a little extra pizzazz to prove that, I guess, that you care enough about the company to do the research to write more just for them. This is just for you. I'm not giving this to anyone else, right? This is just for you, except I'm using a template, because obviously I'm using a template, right?
And copying, what is it, control F, control R, like, yeah. Like find and replace the company name and like right. One adjective.
Yeah. And some of it is very strange because, you know, it's convention that you tell the company how you found out about them. And you also are usually filling that out somewhere else on the form. And it almost feels like nothing matters because the only thing that matters are the other forms that are actually being filled out for you or you have to manually fill out, and you still are uploading a resume and a cover letter especially, and you feel driven to do the cover letter to show that you care about this, that you really want this job, right? You know, it shows a little enthusiasm, and then what? It's still templated. It's still maybe being read by somebody, right? Maybe.
I think I'd rather just pay $50 to not have to write a cover letter, like just to show that I care. Like, hey, I'm not just throwing this out there.
It's like college applications.
Yeah, you have to pay a fee for those. Why don't you have to pay a fee for a job?
Yeah, that's a scam, by the way. You have to pay tens of thousands of dollars per year for the opportunity.
And now, speaking of college applications, you know how when you apply to colleges, there's, because you know, you might apply to like a dozen colleges, and so most colleges have a common app. So it's like a common list of questions that you can use for all. And then they might have their own supplemental materials, or some of them just accept the common app and that's it. But there's no such thing as that for a job. Every job refuses to budge on this, that they need a cover letter. And I've applied to certain jobs that just, they literally just admit like on the job page, they basically say, hey, we don't care. Like, we consider it our responsibility to convince you to join our team. In other words, yeah, like we're going to pitch you as much as you're pitching us. So like, I can't remember if they actually, I don't think they required a cover letter, but then that's the worst when they make a cover letter optional. And what are you going to be, the guy who doesn't write a cover letter? But all you're doing is, it's bad for everyone. It wastes your time. And then they have to read it. It's like nobody wins.
Well, and are they even going to read it? Right. I've been on the hiring side and definitely have had times where I've read the resume and it either tells you immediately, right? Like, do these people have what it takes to do this? Yes or no. And if it's a yes, then the cover letter probably doesn't matter. And if it's a no, then the cover letter probably doesn't matter, right? So it's like this very like tiny sliver of experience to job match that a cover letter is going to be valuable. But again, you're right. You're going to be the one guy that doesn't do the cover letter. You know what I mean? It's just like, you're going to be the guy that doesn't do the extra credit.
Right. Yeah. Who doesn't at least try? I mean, and also like you said, way back in the day when everything was paper, it was literally a cover on top of an application or a resume. But now, and then there's kind of an in-between phase between now and then where resumes were emailed and you just like email somebody your resume or your application. But in that case, you can just put your cover letter in the body of the email versus like making a Word doc you turn into a PDF, a whole like separate attachment. But now it's literally a required field on all these job sites like Lever.
Yeah, and that's probably part of the reason that you mentioned that none of the applications are standardized, right? They've all got their product and engineering teams maximizing whatever metric. Maybe it's successful. They're probably maximizing to some sort of like successful hires. And so whatever on the application that they tweak, including cover letter, that results in the best hire outcome for the companies that they serve is great, but they're not going to share that with all of the other competitors, right? And so you have, you know, a dozen different types of ways to submit your cover letter and resume and all that stuff. And then they're all scraping it anyway into their own database and structuring it. And sometimes that works well. And a lot of times it really doesn't work well. But yeah, this cover letter thing, it's also, you know, when you have to mail it or whatever it was, or you had to go hand it to the office with paper, it was also, or even email, it was also the only chance that they had to look into you. But now with LinkedIn, you know, on my LinkedIn, I've got all of my stuff. I've got, you know, a skills section, recommendations from old coworkers, whatever. You know, it actually does a much better job than I could do about saying why I'm a good fit for your company.
And when you talk about yourself, I find it so cringe to sort of brag, but you like have to. But then there's been plenty of cases where I've read cover letters that were just totally over the top. And I'm like, this guy's full of shit. Like, just like, you know, oh, like my career was flourishing at this other company. I've literally heard those words. Like, my career began to flourish and I got a promotion and, you know, I was lucky enough to be entrusted with managing XYZ. And it's just like, stop sucking your own dick. But you also need to talk about yourself and you need to talk about why you're qualified, and not only why you're qualified, but why you're the best candidate. It's kind of like when in the presidential debates, I've always found it annoying how you have to, I mean, you literally have to brag. You have to say, I am the best candidate in the world for this job. It's like, how presumptuous is that? Like, I'll decide that as the voter, or I'll decide that as the job recruiter, but you don't need to tell me that. Yeah. But now it's a game theory thing where I think when I write cover letters, I come across as sort of too meek or not, you know, everyone says, oh, put yourself out there and take a risk and be bold and be confident and brag a little bit. And it's just gross. I don't know. I don't want to work with people who are like that, because those are the kind of people who are just after themselves in their own career often.
But it's also, it's kind of funny because it's a big ROI, right? If you have a great resume, you'll probably get interviews and things like that. And that will result in a good outcome, right? So, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of have to do. And it is valuable to the employer to see your brags, because they want to brag to their customers and all that stuff. But yeah, it's a weird feeling. You're trained all your life to not brag too much, and then this couple documents, all you're doing is bragging.
Yeah. And it's also, I think one funny thing about cover letters is it's basically the too long didn't read of the resume. Like, the existence of the cover, because, right, you know, if you have an interview coming up in 15 minutes and you got, you know, carried away with your day and you didn't have time to prepare, if you have a resume and you have a cover letter, you're going to kind of skim the resume, just look at the like most recent job. Oh yeah, they worked at Microsoft. Okay, like, I get it. They did this position for 2.5 years. You kind of get like a rough mental model, but you don't like read, oh, like their Excel qualifications and they did this certification, and in college they were treasurer of their fraternity or sorority. And then, but with a cover letter, it's kind of like, give me your pitch, give me your elevator pitch for your life and your career. Just, you know, what's the important thing? But then it's like, well, why even have the resume? Why don't you just write a letter just in prose, just telling me why you're a good fit? Like, I don't need to know all these bulleted details on your resume. Like, have one or the other, but don't have both.
The other part of it is, you know, your resume is kind of assumed to be a semi-static document, right? You update it after each job, or maybe you update it periodically, but you're not substantially changing your resume for each job that you apply to, right? That's kind of, it's the thing, it's the resume. But your cover letter, you have to change for every employer that you're applying to, and probably every role, right? Because you need to talk about why maybe you're a good fit for this particular role. And in the flow of your applications, that is such a big hindrance, right? Because you're going through, you're filling out your basic stuff, your name, address, phone, whatever. Here, upload your resume, and then they'll maybe pull some data out of your resume and throw it in their database and whatever. But then you have to go and write a cover letter for just this one job and, you know, preach about how much you want this job. And you do. You're not lying. But you also want, you know, probably a couple other jobs, right? You don't know until you start talking to them and understanding the team and understanding the details of the role beyond what a job description.
It pays $4 an hour. Yeah.
Great. But, you know, the flip side, maybe it's a feature because the hiring manager, how many resumes do they see coming through that they need to look through? So maybe having something like a cover letter is enough of a speed bump, if you will, to keep them from being overwhelmed, you know, but is it giving you the best candidates? Who knows?
That's a good point. Like, just the act of filling it out is going to result in fewer candidates, which if you're overwhelmed by candidates is I guess a good thing. But I think it would be a better speed bump if it truly was optional and it hadn't become the norm and are basically a requirement. You know, it's like when you're a kid and, you know, or let's say you're a parent and someone stays over at your vacation house or something or whatever, you give them a gift and they write you a thank you note. There's kind of a degree to which you're like, great, but I know your parents made you write this thank you note. Like, thanks for the thank you note, but you're just checking the box and you're just trying to avoid getting grounded or whatever.
Right, right.
And I feel like, yeah, like, so it kind of takes away from it. Whereas if it wasn't the standard to do that in your community, you know, everyone's got different cultural norms and whatnot, but if it wasn't the standard and somebody went out of their way to do it, you'd be like, wow, this person's exceptional. And sometimes I'd say a handwritten thank you note in today's day and age really is above and beyond. Like, you don't get much paper mail and it really does show extra effort. You got, you know, postage stamps, you wrote it by hand, which is harder, et cetera. But that's why maybe a handwritten cover letter, like mailed into the office of the company, is the only way to stand out. But the fact that it's now standard means, you know, everyone's doing it. So it's impossible to stand out in your cover letter and everyone kind of blends in.
And they're all templated to some extent. You know, you just Google cover letter template, you're going to figure it out from that.
And one of the few ways to stand out with this kind of thing is to be funny, right? Like, be bold, say something different, that kind of thing. But then you always get accused of being unprofessional. Like, you with your picture on LinkedIn of like being a banana, like, that makes you stand out, but it clearly was actually a detriment to you getting a job. So it kind of reminds me of, there was this like famous, and I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but a little while ago, college application essay, because, you know, every cover letters are basically the real life version of a college application essay, where it's, you're trying to basically prove to them why you should be admitted, why you're better than the rest, but you're kind of doing this weird dance of bragging, but humble bragging, and saying how you learned some lesson in some corny 500 word story or whatever. But this guy just basically trolled the application, and I won't read the whole thing. You can look it up, but it starts with, "I'm a dynamic figure, often seen scaling walls and crushing ice. I have been known to remodel train stations on my lunch breaks, making them more efficient in the area of heat retention. I translate ethnic slurs for Cuban refugees. I write award-winning operas. I manage time efficiently. Occasionally, I tread water for 3 days in a row." And then there's like paragraph after paragraph of just totally absurd, random things like bragging. And then the very last sentence is, "But I have not yet gone to college." And I mean, like, if I read that, honestly, as a college admittance person, like, my personal take would be, wow, this person's like bold. He's a good writer, because it's like really actually well written. And he's original. Like, this kid like gets it, and let's take a gamble on him. But I don't know. I think he got in, but I don't even know if it was just like a made up thing. But I feel like this is the kind of thing that would stand out in a cover letter, but would not be rewarded in most cases.
Totally. Yeah. 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 Because are you going to take things seriously? But, you know, the irony is that there was a lot of work put into that, right? So they clearly took it seriously on some level.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing that I wish more people got. Like, that takes a lot of work to do that well.
Yeah, cover letters, they're weird, right? I mean, it is such an ambiguous area. Resumes are pretty clear, right? What did you do? How long were you at those things that you're doing? And then, like, what's your education and any skills or whatever, right? It's so straightforward. It's easy to skim. It's great for interviews because you can look at it and you say, oh, when you were at this doing this, what did you do to do that or whatever, right? Yeah, nobody's going to pull interview questions from a cover letter. I've never had that happen.
One question I have on here is, for a cover letter, how much time do you spend sucking the company's dick versus your own dick? Like, it's a hard question. Like, do you talk about yourself the whole time? Because then the argument from the company is, oh, this person's a narcissist. They're so self-absorbed. They don't even know what we do. They don't care about our mission. But then you spend all the time talking about the mission and how much it speaks to you and how much you want to work there. And they're like, well, great. I'm glad this person's enthused, but who are they? What have they done? Why should we hire them? It's like, well, that's what the resume is supposed to be for. But if you're trying to have it all in one letter and you're trying to keep it to 400 words or whatever, it's nearly impossible to strike that balance correctly.
Yeah. I don't have any. I don't know that anyone knows the answer, because I feel like there's just no standardized cover letter too, right? It's kind of purposefully ambiguous. And because of that, you get you probably get weird prose, like that one letter to somebody saying, I built, you know, this thing, and it's basically regurgitating the resume, which is useless as well.
I think more and more I'm of the personal philosophy, and it might end up being to my own detriment, that the sort of spray and pray approach to jobs is not the best approach. You know, it may statistically lead to better outcomes, like, you know, apply to 10 jobs a day, you do that for 10 days, you got 100 applications in, all you need is a 1% chance and you'll get the job. But then you're going to end up working for some fucking boring banana corporate company that, you know, skimmed over your cover letter, which didn't have anything interesting to say, but it didn't have anything offensive also, and just let you through. And I feel like if you can target and try to select companies with more of a personality and more, I don't, not necessarily sense of humor, but just sort of humanity, I guess, then you can actually write a genuine letter that's, I don't know, self-aware and says, yeah, I don't know what you guys want in this letter, or like, just something that's a little less, you know, standard banana, just mailing it in, you're one of 50 applications kind of thing.
Well, isn't that the point of the cover letter?
Yeah, it's to get only bananas to apply to your company.
No, I'm saying it's to get the people that care about it so much that are not playing the numbers game.
But even with the numbers game, it's still a pain in the ass. But if you're unemployed and you have 8 free hours a day to just, it's not that hard. Like, to write a shitty or mediocre cover letter, it really, in all honesty, takes like 15 minutes. Just find their mission statement, write 2 sentences about why you're pretending to care about it, and then just copy and paste why your work experience matches up with their position. So it's a pain in the ass, but it's not actually that big of a deterrence or time suck to reduce the number of candidates that much.
Yeah, so it kind of doesn't have its intended effect, and it's just kind of weird speed bump for the sake of it almost. What about CVs versus resume? I don't have a CV. I've never had a CV. I have a resume.
What does CV stand for?
Curriculum vitae. And I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Is that Latin?
Yes.
I think it's a dead language, so there's no correct pronunciation.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, just say it however you want.
Right. It's a European thing, right?
It does seem like Europe uses the term CV and America uses the term resume. And, you know, I'm looking it up here, and it seems like a CV is slightly different, but I'm wondering if in practice it actually is, because it seems like there's not anything else outside of the scope of a resume that you would add.
I think it's just a longer resume. That's my understanding. Like, you basically list out more details about what you did at various jobs, which I think might be useful. Like, maybe they don't read it anyway, just like in America, but maybe you actually get more detail. Like, one thing I think is cool is for roles such as designers, you actually, when you apply to the job, you actually have to produce a portfolio, and then you can literally see what this person did. It's just like, here is what they did, and, you know, I can imagine them doing something similar for us, and I like it or I don't. But with a resume, you're just like, they wrote their own resume and you're just trusting the results. Like, yeah, we shipped this product and it got this many users, but that's so vague. You have no idea what that means. Like, maybe they were the biggest pain in the ass on the team to work with. You know, maybe those are bullshit metrics, whatever. You can't actually see the work. And so I think the idea behind a CV is just trying to see more of the work, but it's still limited because it's still just words on a page written by the very person who's trying to impress you.
Might be, if you were not really serious about looking for a job, it could be a funny test to just fake your resume, make a fake LinkedIn page and see. It would probably work, right?
Yeah. I think it would be cool if there was some almost like HR app. I don't think this would ever work, but the biggest unknown when I'm interviewing someone for a role is this person going to be a pain in the ass to work with? Like, and that's the hardest thing to capture on a resume, because nobody's going to admit to that, right? And you can get a feel during an interview, but they're nervous, you're nervous. It's not the same as working. And I've had plenty of examples where the person seemed like an asshole and they were actually great, or vice versa. They seemed super super nice and collaborative and smart, and they were none of those things when we actually started working together. But if there was some sort of way to, in real time, almost like a secret LinkedIn, give feedback once a week, let's say, to all the people you're working on a team with, of how much you like working with them, and it was all kind of anonymous, but then when they applied to their next job, they could opt to share that.
This sounds like Black Mirror, the one where they rate people.
Yeah, and it probably wouldn't work out. It would probably be a disaster. But
wait, and you're a product manager. That's your job title.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just riffing, but
I'm giving you a hard time. But yeah. It just feels a little Black Mirror like.
And half baked.
And also, what if you just had a personal vendetta? Like, I just give you 1 star every week, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's why the easiest hire is the person you've personally worked with before. You then literally know like how they're going to do in that job.
Yeah. And it's like kind of a problem too, because it ends up, you know, enforcing bias inherent in society and culture. But it's the easiest like heuristic shortcut to knowing that you are able to work with that person because you have, right? By definition.
There's a book, I can't remember the name, but it basically outlined the number one problem with looking for a job and hiring is the way the company is looking for candidates is exactly the opposite of the way people are searching for jobs. So a company, if they're looking to fill a role, the first thing they're going to do is look for someone internally at that company to fill that role, like a lateral move or promotion. Because that's a known quantity, right? That's so easy. You hardly need to interview them, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and it's a perk for working at that company, right? It's another thing they can say, we hire from, or we promote from within, which means there is upward mobility. You're not just going to be stuck at your role, you know, for the rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next place they're going to look is referrals. They're going to say, okay, who has worked with someone before in this role and knows they can do it, can personally vouch and put their neck out for this person, sort of, in some sense, for this role. And then if they can't fill it using that, the next thing is a job posting and just a random, nobody knows this person, but it's just someone on the internet.
Right. Let's trust their resume kind of thing.
Yeah. But most people, including myself, who are not, you know, super networky, the way their filter for looking for a job is the opposite. They go on the internet and they just search for opening jobs and they just start applying. And then if that doesn't work out for a while, they start to reach out to friends and say, hey, you know, do you know of any openings, blah, blah, blah. But it's the exact opposite funnel from how the employers would prefer to fill that role. But I think it's the employer's responsibility to kind of figure out a better way to evaluate the talent of the people on the internet. Because if you're just looking from within your company or just looking from people like referrals from within your company, there's such a small pool compared with, you know, all the people out there that would do a good job.
Well, and especially since so much is remote now too, they don't have to be local as much. So yeah, cover letters suck.
How many have you written in the past month?
Probably dozens, you know, but they're not fun. You get a template, you kind of get better at it, but it's never a fun activity. I don't mind, like, a resume can be a grind to work on and really nail. And, you know, you want to run it by some people that you trust and you get to a point, but then it's kind of, you've arrived, right? You're there, but with a cover letter, it's just a constant slog to do and it's good and bad. Why? But it is definitely the least fun part.
I think I have some on my computer. I'm trying to pull them up, but my iCloud is glitching. I like to keep a record of things just mostly for nostalgia. But I kept a copy of my internship cover letters from college. I applied to, let's see. Wow. I have 25 cover letters for a summer internship going into senior year of college.
Did you get a summer internship?
I got one offer out of 25. Let's see. Okay. To whom it may concern, I'm writing to apply for the Associate Product Manager intern position at Google. I am interested in this position because I believe my academic background, coupled with my ability to think logically and creatively about problems, will suit the role. God, I can't even read. Then the next, it's way too long too, by the way.
How long is it?
It's one page, but single spaced.
And how many paragraphs? Like, are there, is there spacing between the paragraphs?
Or? Nope. Nope.
Also, to whom it may concern, that was another thing I wanted to bring up with cover letters, is I've actually done, I don't know if you want to call it research, but I've Googled.
Isn't that basically what research is these days?
I mean, I guess. Yeah, which is fine. But right. You're supposed to find who the hiring manager is and fill that in. And if you exhaust all your options to fill in that to field. And, you know, some jobs, it's just totally unclear who it's reporting to, especially at bigger companies. And to whom it may concern does feel so, you know, corporate and rigid. So I've kind of started dropping that entirely. I've just gotten rid of the to and just gotten to the point and, you know, started saying, you know, here's how I heard about it and here's why it'd be a good fit and hope to hear from you. You know, that's basically my template. That right there is my template.
I mean, basically, you know who it's to. If you're reading it, then it's to you. You know, it's like an email. You don't need to say, it's like your uncle when they send you a text, they say from Uncle Joe. It's like, I know who it's from. I have you saved in my phone or in an email.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's also a weird one. You have to go find who the hiring manager is. And plus the hiring manager doesn't want to get inundated with people messaging them on LinkedIn or whatever, you know, just leave them alone. I think I've talked my way into getting rid of the two line altogether.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but it's weird to just pick a name when you also know a lot of times multiple people read these things, but it's kind of like the bystander theory. You know, if there's like an accident or somebody's hurt, you got to say, hey, you in the red jacket, you call 911. You in the yellow jacket, you do that. You know, if you don't specify or call them by name, they're going to, you know, no one's going to do anything. So I do think it helps to have a specific name on there. But the second to last paragraph is me talking about, it's like me sucking the company's dick. So I say, and this is again, 10 years ago. So this is a while ago. I use Google for everything. I want to work for the company that gives me email, helps me find my way home, and provides an endless amount of entertainment with online videos. Jesus.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This is why I want to work for Google with italics. The reason you should hire me, however, is that I'm passionate about becoming a part of the world's leading technology company and being a part of the changes that Google is constantly implementing. As an avid consumer of such technology, I think I could bring not only passion and commitment, but also valuable insights to Google's new prospective products. Like, I'm a fucking college student. I'm not going to provide jack shit. Like, I don't even know why they hired college interns. I guess it's to get them to work there full time once they actually become somewhat valuable.
Well, it's funny too, because now that you've read that, I'm thinking my best work for cover letters was definitely done right after college.
Yeah, it's when I cared the most. Yeah,
right. Just had elaborate prose.
Yeah, elaborate prose. Like, you're fresh off of, you know, your writing seminar and all that stuff. And you also think, you're kind of naive enough to think that it matters a lot, that they're really going to evaluate you and like take your words literally and be like, I guess we should hire him. He's logically convinced me via argument. Like,
despite zero experience. Yeah,
right. Like, experience is 95% of it. The cover letter is just like icing on the cake or just a prerequisite.
Yep. So, necessary evil or just a pain in the ass? That's for our lovely listeners to decide, I think.